Good morning. My name is Pastor Chris Tomokiyo. I am the adult pastor here, so I get to minister to all the grown-up kids. As an adult pastor, since I get an opportunity before I start the message, I do have a couple announcements I just want to throw out real quick. First of all, our adult and young adult Sunday school classes are starting. So they start a little bit today, but they'll kick off officially next week and the week after. So I hope you will consider being a part of that. If you will look in your programs, number 17 there is a special class that I'll be teaching for those of you who went to the Love and Respect Conference last year, and we're blessed by that. Dr. Edgar just has written a book as a follow-up to that material. What he discovered as he went around and taught this material and went back to some of those churches and talked to some of the people who had taken his class is that everybody really liked what he shared and thought it was really good, but they had a lot of trouble applying it in their marriage and making it work. So he wrote this book, the second book, The Language of Love and Respect, to kind of address that and help people to figure out how to take those principles and use them in their marriage. So I want to, if you're welcome to come, it'll just go from now to December, so you're not there for the whole year. No commitment for that, but I hope you will be able to come. Second, number 9 on the back, for those of you who are trailblazers here, that we do have a conference, Next Steps Conference, that will be coming in at the end of this month. And just read it, number 9, and actually registration has started already, so you can register outside at the table. Okay, we're going to get started. So thank you, John, for praying for me. I appreciate that. This is, like Pastor John said, this is the last Sunday that we're going to talk about worship. Next Sunday, we start a new series on the book of Hebrews. That'll be a very interesting study. We were talking through it in our pastor's meeting, and it's pretty dense material there, pretty good stuff. So we're looking forward to teaching it. I think we as pastors will learn a lot, and I believe those of us in the congregation will learn a lot as well. But anyway, this is the last sermon on worship. I did want to talk about worship. You know, we're going to be here in this worship service for this year anyway, the next 50 plus Sundays, right? You're going to spend an hour and a half sitting here in this room trying to make sense of it. And maybe sometimes, like when I first started coming to church, I would go to church and I'd sit there. I was a collegian when I first started coming to church. And I would sit there and I'd say, well, so what is this all about? I'm here, we sing some songs, we read some book, and then somebody gets up and talks a long time, right? And what is that, right? What is this? Is this worth? And I drove in from UCLA, right? Is this worth driving? Is this worth parking? Is this worth sitting here in this room? I think some of us are still asking that question. We're here, but we're here so we can check off the Sunday I went to worship box, or we're here because we're expected to come, or maybe we're here because we brought our kids or whatever. And we're sitting here thinking, why am I here? What is supposed to happen? I walk out of this worship, and I'm just, you know, nothing's changed. Life is the same. I spent an hour and a half of my time, and what's happened? I don't think that's what worship is supposed to be about. Worship is supposed to be transforming. So next slide, please. Next slide. What is transformation? We're talking about worship should be transforming. It should do something to us. So what is transformation? What is transformation? Next slide. So if you're a kid, when you're a kid, you went to science class, and this is what you saw, right? This picture of this caterpillar to a chrysalis to a butterfly, and they tell you, this is transformation. Look at how amazing this is. You start off with this bug, and you end up with this beautiful butterfly, right? That's a picture, a scientific picture of transformation. More recently, next slide, please. Here's transformation. Bruce Banner transforms into the Hulk, right? And that is pretty amazing transformation, right? You get a pretty normal human being, and then because he gets upset or something happens to his system, he changes into this huge hulking monster that is super powerful and can do pretty much anything he wants, right? That is transformation. Next one. Next slide, please. How could you not talk about Transformers when you're talking about transformation? So when my kids were young, my son especially, obviously my son, not my daughters, but he was really into Transformers, right? So you know, as parents, you always wonder, you always try to figure out, what is it that you can have over your kids that will make them do what you want, right? It's like, if I give you this, if you'll do this, right, kind of a thing. So Transformers were the thing for us, right? It's kind of like, we wanted, he's not here today, so I can talk about him. My son, Uncle Nate, that when we wanted him to get potty trained, right? So we said, if you can do that, we'll give you... So back then, actually, he did the Power Ranger thing where there were like five pieces and you build them up into one big thing, right? Yeah, you know Power Rangers, right? And they're all little pieces and we put them up. So we would give him one piece for every milestone in his thing. So he was motivated, right, to finish all five pieces because then he could put together the whole thing, right? The thing. So that was our leverage. But Transformer, here's Optimus Prime, right? And he... So I had to learn all this because I don't watch these movies, but this is Optimus Prime, and he changes from a truck, right, just a normal truck into this robot, or I don't know what you call it, a transformer that goes around, Autobot, right, that can go around and do all kinds of amazing things. Transformation is starting with something that's less. Right, whether it's a human like Dr. Banner, whether it's a caterpillar like a bug, whether it's a truck like this, and making it more, right? Something happens. Something happens to this little thing, and all of a sudden it's not little anymore. Now it's a beautiful butterfly. Now it's the Hulk, or now it's Optimus Prime. That you start with something kind of undeveloped, not too impressive, not too, you know, nothing that would draw your attention, but it goes through this process, and at the end of it, it's something amazing. It's something amazing. And what I want us to think about is this is what worship should be, because we are walking into the presence of God. That it should be something that takes something like us, who's not that impressive, you know, most of us are not that impressive and not that big a deal, but somehow we get transformed into something amazing. So here's my next slide. Here's my definition of trans. This is not Webster's. This is not anybody's. This is mine. But I kind of looked at it. But I think it captures the idea of what transformation is like from a scriptural perspective. Transformation is significant change. It's change. You cannot stay the same. If you are the same, you're not transformed. If Bruce Banner doesn't become the Hulk, he's still Bruce Banner. If a caterpillar doesn't become a butterfly, he's still a caterpillar. If Optimus Prime doesn't change into Optimus Prime, he's still a truck. That these things are the same. If you come in and 10 years later, you're the same person as you are today, nothing has happened. You've wasted 10 years of worship services. What you have here in worship is an opportunity to change from something insignificant and small into something amazing. Into something amazing. Okay? So, next slide. How do you do that? I'm going to give you, these are not obviously the only things, but three keys, three things. If you can do these three things, worship service changes for you. It won't be boring. It won't be just sitting here trying to last till the end, right? Right, kind of a thing. Three things that if you can change, if you can make these three things happen as you walk into service, you start to have a service that can change you, that can make you something amazing. Our scripture today is from Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, we'll show it on the screen. This is a very familiar passage. I know the scripture was the scripture reading that's in your program is verses 1 to 2. We're actually going to go to verse 5. But let me go ahead and start this. So next slide. So let's start off with the first couple of verses. It says this, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship." Paul says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Next slide. Here's the point I want to make. He, not I. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is when you walk into worship service, is this about he, God, or is it about me, I? When you walk out of worship service, the question should not be, what did I get out of worship service? The question should be, what did he get out of worship service? It's not about me. It's not about what are some examples. I'll make it really practical. So we can walk into service and we're sitting there in service and they're singing songs and we don't know the songs, right? This happens to me. I don't know every song that's sung here in worship service. So we're sitting here and you're trying to sing and then you kind of think, but I can't get into because I don't know the song, right? And you can feel, you kind of walk out of that and you say, well, I didn't have a good worship today because I didn't know the songs. Right? I'm sure we've all been there at some point in some experience in our life where we walked in, we went through a worship set, walked out, it's like, I guess that was okay, you know? That worship becomes, that part of worship service becomes something that I need to get something out of, not something that God needs to get something out of. And I think we need to change that. What does he, not I, look like in that? That when I come to worship service, so I tried this today, actually, because I knew I was going to say this in the sermon. So I didn't sing that much in the worship songs. But what I tried to do was, okay, I'm going to pretend like I don't know any of these songs. Okay, I did know most of them. One I wasn't that familiar with, but I knew most of them pretty well. But I kind of sat there, okay, I'm going to pretend I don't know these songs. So I'm not going to sing because I don't know the song, right? So what did I do? What did I do? You understand that a song is a prayer. It's written as a prayer. It's written as something that is supposed to move people and to be an expression of something to God. So what I did was I sat there And I looked at the words of the song, and I used that as prayer prompts, right? When it talked about God seated on the throne, I'm praying to myself, God, you're seated on the throne. You're worthy. And go, you know, and praying song, just a prayer of praise to God. The next slide would change. More words would show up, and I look at another prayer prompt. Just because you don't know the song doesn't mean you can't worship. Now, you can't worship if worship to you means you get something out of it. Yeah, sure. You can walk out there and not get anything out of worship. But if worship means I want to give, it's about he, not I. I want to give something to God. It's not about me. Then you can, I was praying prayers of praise through that whole set. And I could say afterwards, I didn't sing hardly any, but I believe God was worshiped. I gave God some praise that he deserved, right? So is that a good worship service or not? Not if it's about me. Yes, if it's about God. Right? He, not I, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So sometimes, I don't know. So there's three people in a sacrifice, right? There's the one who's getting sacrificed to, which should be God, right? There is the thing, the person who brings the sacrifice, right? And then there is the sacrifice, right? The animal or whatever. I want you to look at this. And see what it says. I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. So in the way this is worded, we are not just the person bringing the sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. Right? What does that mean? That means we give up what we want. We give up ourselves, our own desires, our own, just to give God worship. It's not about me. I'm dead. I don't have to get anything out of this. In fact, I could have a great worship service not getting anything out of worship service if God got something out of it. Right? Isn't that what worship should be? So first key is to change your thinking. Are you thinking about you? Or are you thinking about God? Because if you think about God, you can always give God something. Next slide. It goes on, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Next slide. His, not mine. In other words, this is about what God wants, not about what I want. It's not about me feeling good at the end of this. It's not about me being comfortable. It's not about me getting my spiritual fix for the week. It is about getting on God's agenda, doing what God wants. I'm giving myself as a sacrifice. I am going to change. Now, most of us, and I'll put myself in that category. Most of us, or many of us, when we walk into the service, the last thing, or one of the later thing, it's not the first thing for sure, that we think about is, I'm going to change during this worship service. Very few Christians walk into a worship service and think, okay, when I walk out of here, I'm going to be different than when I walk in. Why is that? Why do we think that if we do this right, that we can walk into the presence of the living God, the creator of the universe, be with him, and walk out and not be changed by that? Think of the day. Think of the day when either Jesus comes or Jesus calls you home to be with him, and you stand before Jesus. You're standing there right in front of him, and he's looking right at you. Do you think you can walk away from that not changed? Nobody can do that. Nobody can. We can, though. I don't know why. We believe God is here. That's what the call to worship is all about, right? We are invoking God. We're not even asking for God to be present because he's here, right? He's everywhere. Obviously, God is here. You don't have to ask him to be here. We're the ones that are coming into his presence, and we're asking him to reveal himself. So we ask him to reveal himself, and yet we feel like, okay, we prayed the prayer, we did the call to worship. That's it. I can be comfortable. I can stay the way I am. I don't have to change. I'm good. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may discern the will of God. Worship service, when it works the way it's supposed to, brings us off our agenda and moves us onto God's agenda. That we start to understand what God wants for us in our lives, what changes he wants us to make, how he wants us to live, what he wants us to do, and we start doing it. And we start doing it, that we come in expecting to change. And I want to challenge us. Again, I don't know what we're going to walk out with after this or next week. But when you walk in next week, are you going to be thinking, okay, how am I going to change today? What is God going to change in me today? That's scary though, right? Because nobody likes change. Especially when God changes us. So those are really scary. But how can we come into the presence of God, acknowledge him as Lord of our life, sit there and listen to what he has to say to us, read it in his words, sing it in these songs, and then walk out unchanged? What is that? When you step back from it, out of being in it, and you look at that, you have to wonder, what am I doing? What am I doing? Don't you? What are you doing here? What do you expect to happen today, this morning, in the next 20 minutes? What do you expect? Nothing? Why? Why nothing? And the reason why, I think, well, one of the reasons is this, because that's not what we come to worship for. We don't come to worship to be changed by God, most of us, many times. We come to worship for our own reasons. I mean, yeah, I think that's harsh. I don't mean that we all come in here hypocritical and, you know, I don't care, whatever. Of course, I believe all of us come with a heart and a desire to please God, and otherwise you wouldn't be here. Okay, so I'm not going, it's not that. But let's be intentional about why we are here. What you expect to happen when you're here. Do you come in looking to change? Because if you come in looking to change, then you're looking to change, right? You're looking for something, whether it's the scripture reading, whether it's the worship songs, maybe it's just praying to God through the worship songs, maybe it's the message, maybe it's anything. Maybe it's talking to somebody sitting next to you that something changes. And you become more the butterfly than the caterpillar. That's what should happen every Sunday. We walk out and we should be a little bit more the butterfly, a little bit less the caterpillar. Right? And some weeks, God is good and you make a big change. Some weeks, not much. It's okay. Next slide. He goes on, so the part the verse 3-5, for by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Now, as we have many parts in one body and all the parts do not have the same function in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Next slide. We, not me. Corporate worship, what makes Sunday worship different than what you do at home on a daily, hopefully a daily basis in your devotional time? What makes it different is the person sitting next to you. That's what makes it different. The people sitting around you. And in that body of Christ, there's an opportunity to experience God in ways that you cannot experience him on your own private devotional time. And more than that, in fact, to take it to this level, it's not just, again, what we get out of it. We get an opportunity. We have an opportunity, especially in this worship service, with all the age groups represented and all the giftedness that I know is represented here in this body of Christ. We have the opportunity to make somebody else's worship service powerful and transforming. The person you're sitting next to, maybe God wants you to be the one to transform that person a little bit today. That's why you're sitting next to them. Ever think about that? No. Everybody's shaking their head. Shame on us, right? Right? You might be sitting to the same person all the time, and you've never had a transforming conversation with that person. Worship service is an opportunity for us to build up one another, to be part of the transforming process in each other's lives. It may be a little thing. It may be a big thing. All of us have gifts. Like today, we have ushers, greeters, worship team, AV, speakers, call the worship leader, all these people that are part of this worship service that are extending themselves to make this a better experience for all of us, to make it that we can experience God. And in the same way, we can do that for each other. You know, when I sing, when I'm not preaching, I usually try to sit out in the congregation somewhere. Sometimes I scare the people, I know. They always say, "What are you doing here?" That's the question I get more often. "Why are you sitting here?" And I don't know if that's a good thing, right? Because they're afraid I'm looking over their shoulder, which I probably am. No. But one thing I do is, like, during worship time, when we sing songs, if you're standing next to me, you know this, I usually try to sing pretty loud because I'm not just singing for myself. I'm trying to encourage the person next to me to sing. Right? Because if you're standing there and the person next to you is like this and the person behind you is like that and is very quiet all around you, it's pretty hard. You feel kind of self-conscious, right, to open your mouth and sing because you'd be the one voice sticking out in the middle of everybody. So I don't care. Minister Dan, same thing. He doesn't care either, you know. We just get out there and we just let it go, you know, because I don't care. I don't care what I sound like. I don't have a greatest voice or whatever. But if I can sing really loud, then the person next to me doesn't feel so bad because they say I sound better than him. But you know what I mean, right? That. It's just like this. When we sit together, and sometimes our congregation is really good, because I sit in the front a lot, so I hear, like when we do a cappella singing or something like that, they cut all the music. Sometimes we're really good. You know that. That you hear the voices, and you're just encouraged and edified and uplifted. That should happen every Sunday. Every Sunday. Because we're here not for ourselves. When we pray with somebody, one thing I do some weeks, not every week, is when I sit down next to somebody, before I greet my, you know, obviously tell them who I am. Well, they kind of know who I am, but I ask who they are if I don't know them. But I'll kind of turn away, then I'll pray for them. Not out loud, because that'll embarrass some people, but just in my heart, I'll turn and pray for the person next to me. Why not? Because it's not about me, it's about we. We. How different would it be if every time you came into worship service, you knew the person next to you was praying for you? What a difference that would make, wouldn't it? That you can walk in and know, wow, today I'm walking in the church, I'm getting prayed for today. They may not even know what your prayer request was. It doesn't matter. God knows. Doesn't matter. Here's a challenge I want to put out for you. Next week when you sit down, whoever you're sitting next to, why not? They don't even have to notice, right? You don't have to embarrass them. Embarrass yourself. Just keep your eyes open. It's okay, but pray for them. Simple, nothing long, nothing short. However, just keep it short. However the Lord, even if it's just, God, please bless them. And if you don't know their name, that's a great time. So you can pray for them by name. That's always good, okay? Just say, what's your name? When you get their name, then you can pray for them. And that will be meaningful for you. See, and in extending to the we, you will get blessed. And that worship service will be meaningful. Whether you got anything from the message or the worship or whatever, you got to pray for somebody. You ask God's blessing upon somebody. That means something. You were prayed for. That means something. Wouldn't it? Next slide. What are the results of doing this kind of transforming worship? One, God receives glory, which is the whole point. The whole point. If that doesn't happen, what are we doing? We might as well go home. If God is not receiving glory, that's the definition of what worship service is. What are we doing here? So meaningful worship means you walk out and you can say, I know God received glory today. That's meaningful. Second, we're changing into His image. His image, not mine. It's not about what I want. Did I feel good? Did God speak? Did I hear, learn something new today? It's about, I heard God. God convicted me about this thing, or God encouraged me about this thing, and I want to get on His agenda. I'm here in worship service to hear from God. And God speaks through His people. God speaks in a multitude of ways. And third, brothers and sisters in Christ are encouraged and edified. What is corporate worship about? That we walk in here and we walk out edified. And you can't edify yourself. Right? That's something the body has to do for you. That you have to do for the person sitting next to you. And if you can do that, they will walk out blessed. Next slide. Applications. This is a blank slide. The reason is, make your own. But let me give you some ideas of things that I thought about that you can consider, just to give you an idea of the kinds of things you should be thinking. One, take advantage of the call to worship. You know, we have a call to worship every Sunday. We have a call to worship every Sunday, okay? So sometimes we just kind of, you know, it's here and it's gone. We don't listen to it, whatever. You know what? Listen to it. Let it do what it's supposed to do. Call you to worship. As you read the scripture or you hear it read, turn your head and your heart away from yourself and turn it to God, and that will set up the whole worship service for you. Another one, try to intentionally give something to God every week. And that don't mean money. Could be money, but it doesn't. That's one of many, many, many things. You can give God service by parking in Bamboo Plaza and walking over here. That is an act of worship if you do it for the Lord. Honestly. Right? You say, look, I want to be a blessing to my brothers and sisters. Some of them maybe have a harder time walking than I do. I can park there. We, not me. Right? You can give somebody a smile. You can give somebody a handshake. You can give somebody a prayer. You can give a lot of things, okay? There's no limit. When you walk into service, come with an expectation to change, not just to experience worship. Sometimes the modern language drives you crazy because I know what it means and it's not meant the way, but it's not exactly, if you take it to the extreme, it's not right. We don't come here to experience worship. We come here to give God glory and to be changed by Him. That's what we're here for, right? Find a place to serve. If it's about we, not me, then you, God gave you gifts. You can do some things. You may not know it, but there's some things you can do that nobody else in this church can do. That's the way God designs the church. All of us have something, and yet there are general categories where, yeah, there are many teachers and all those kind of things, but there are some, most of us have at least one thing that we are really, really, really good at, not because we're so great, but because God gave you a gift. Use that, because that's how you bless the congregation. And last, when you walk out, think about, and next slide, let's finish up with this verse. Let me read this and I'll make my point. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. When you walk out of service and think about, was this a good worship service or not? You should be using the words, he, his, we, not I, mine, me. In other words, it's not I got something out of, I didn't get something out of worship. I did this, or it's all, you know, it wasn't good for me, or whatever. All that's all self stuff. It should be God was praised today. Praise God. We as a church, we worship together. Those are the words that evaluate your worship. Not the I, me, mine. It should be he, we, right? So think about that as you walk out of worship today. You know, one of the challenging things about worship service is you don't control a lot, right? If you have come in with a me mindset that is about me, you don't have control necessarily over where you sit because somebody may be sitting in your chair. You don't have control of the songs that are sung. You don't have control over who's preaching that day or whether they're any good or not. You don't have any control over what the choir is going to sing for anthem. You don't have any control of any of it. So if you make it about me, a lot of times we walk out of worship service frustrated, disappointed, discouraged, because I got nothing out of it. But if you make it about he and we, you have total control. You control what you give to God. You control what you, how you bless the people around you. You have total control over that, and you can make it a good worship service. No matter who the preacher is, no matter who the worship leader is, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, because it's not about you. But you can give God glory. You can find a way to bless the people around you. You make that your responsibility, and you will be blessed. Worship will become transforming, which is what it's supposed to be. We should not be the same people walking out of worship service than we were walking in. We should be different. And again, big, sometimes big, most of the time small. But we should be different. Should be different.